I want to share with you today some things, some revelations. And one in particular, I want to get across to you today because this revelation changed my life. And it's the way I was reading my Bible, because I think many times we'll read our Bible and we get good wisdom from them. But the Bible says when you get wisdom, you also have to get understanding. And I feel like I had the wisdom of God, but I didn't have the understanding of the thing I had the wisdom about. Does that make sense? And so how many times have you been reading your Bible and God will show you something in a different way that you never saw before, but you know you've read that thing many times. You may have even studied it out. But for some reason, at that day, at that moment, you were looking with a set of eyes that you weren't looking with before, and you saw something from a different perspective. How many people know everything is perspective? And so you read it with a new perspective, and you see it in a different way, especially when you start breaking it down. So what I do in Scripture, you'll notice when I'm with you, I break it down. And I don't just break it down as an individual Scripture. I see what it looks like in other places in the Bible. And when you do that, that's called rightfully dividing the Word. And when you rightfully divide the Word, it takes the holes out of your doctrine. See, you can't just get to a place and read and go, well, I just want to skip that. Because I don't like that part. It's too complicated. I don't want to read that one. You just can't skip around, or you have holes in your doctrine. And then Jesus is going to look like a puzzle to you. Anybody ever used to do those jigsaw puzzles? And you put them together and you can start to see the outline, but you really can't quite see the whole picture. And you thought you understood the picture until you put those last few pieces and you go, oh, that's what it is. And it didn't even look like what you thought it was going to be. Well, that's how the Bible is. And you're never going to see Jesus for who he is. You're never going to see God or the Holy Spirit for who they are until you get all the pieces in place. And so what I want to do is I want to start breaking this word down a little bit. And I want you to get your head around this revelation that I'm going to teach today. And so I want you to open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 46. We'll start with verse 9. It says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Now here God singles himself out saying, I'm God. There is no other and there's no one like me, because he's God. Then he begins demonstrating and in some ways explaining one of the ways he's different. Now, he's different in a lot of ways, and we'll discuss a couple of those days today. But here he starts saying, by continuing the sentence, after he singles himself out, that there's none like him, he says, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So whatever God says will stand, it will last, it will come to completion, and he will do all that is his pleasure. Now, I want you to go back up to that verse, because right after he says, I'm God, and there's none like me, he makes a very important statement, and this is what I need you to get your head around. This is what we got to focus on this, and we have to break this down. He says, declaring the end from the beginning. Over here at the end, he's declaring the end, but he's doing it from the beginning. I'm going to say it one more time, because most of you jumped on board that time. He's at the end. And when he's at the end, he declares it from the beginning, speaking to the end of a thing. So God doesn't start like us. We start from the beginning and we go to the end. God goes to the end, finishes it, then he begins. He walks in what already is. And wherever he needs to be along the way, or whoever you need to be, anywhere on that trip, I am. What about here, God? I am. I am all the time. So when God said, let there be light, He declared something. As soon as he declared it, it was. So when God declares something, listen to me, then time will reveal it. God declares it, then time reveals it. You have that concept. So this is how I want us to start from this point forward, moving on in our Christian life. Take everything that you've ever processed, everything you've ever learned, and I want you to come to the more mature things of Christ, and we're now going to see it from God's perspective. See, we're used to seeing things and living life through our perspective. And if I do nothing else here today, I need you to be able to, if we're going to be Christ-like and we have to have the mind of Christ, then we have to think like God. We can't do things the way we think anymore. We need to do the way things that he has taught us to think. Or we're never going to get to be the people who he called us to be. So, again, you got to get your head around this concept. Listen, or you'll never get to the place where you can live in perfect peace. Say perfect peace. Come on, you know that's where we all want to be. I don't want to have disruptions constantly through my life. I don't want to have fear every day of my life. I don't want to have anxiety through the days of my life. I don't know about you. I'm tired of feeling pain and suffering. I don't want to feel those things anymore. I don't want to live in a place where I don't know. It could be. It might be. I'm not sure of. I don't even know. I don't understand. I don't want to live there anymore. Am I alone? Or do I got a crowd here that maybe would say, I don't want to live there either. I want to live in perfect peace. That means I know every part of my future is secure before I even get there. See, he puts a plan, listen to me, he puts the plan for your life in place before you even knew who he was. Before you even know who he is, your plan is already in place. So understand, he makes a way out of your mess before you even make a way in. He already put in you what you need to to overcome the struggle before you even knew there was a fight. He equipped you and prepared you for every challenge you would ever face and made you victorious before you ever even faced your first opposition. Because he started at the end and finished. He declared. And once he declared, that line was finished. Say finish line. That finish line is finished. And therefore, now all you're waiting on is for time to reveal it. If you miss this part of it, you won't understand the thing I'm about to say. You'll keep living your life from day to day wondering what's going to happen tomorrow when the Bible clearly says take no thought for the morrow. The morrow will take care of itself. Why? Because it's already in that finish line. That line has already been spoken and finished. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live that way another day of my life. I want to know that every step of mine is ordered. I want to know that I'm in line and in timing with God. I want to understand that my provision is already there, that I don't have to whine and beg for it, that it was already put in place once I decided to walk in faith. The minute I decided I'm going to follow God, I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to take up my cross and follow him, I entered a walk of faith. That means I'm going to believe and trust him for everything. Does he not say in that same scripture, look at the lily? You see the lily out there sweating? Worrying about tomorrow? How much more for his children? Once you get the concept of who God is and who he established you to be and the love that he has for you, then you understand the plan he has for your life. Once you understand the plan for your life, then you understand that that plan is exactly what it is. It's a plan, but it's already been finished. And our job is to walk through time, dealing with, facing with, whatever comes against us, to just keep walking. Yeah, but you don't know how many enemies I have and how many are coming against. I'm supposed to pray for those who despitefully use me and who are called my enemies. Yeah, but you don't know what people are saying and doing to me, and they keep hitting me. I don't know. I hear Jesus saying, just turn the other cheek. Why does Jesus say turn the other cheek? If they hit you on this side, why do you turn the other cheek? Because I don't have to look at you anymore. I don't have time to look at you. I'm too busy trying to finish what God started. And when he started, he finished it. And I got to walk this thing. And I don't have time to even look at you. When we get out of here, it's how we're going to live. We're going to walk like this. This is how I'm living every day of my life right now. As they say in the South, I've growed up. Anybody growed up in here? If you haven't, what a great day to start. So, Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, says, and the Lord, listen to this, he even one-ups this. And the Lord, he is the one who? The Lord. He's the one who goes before you. That's every person in here. He goes before you, and he'll be with you. And he will not leave you. And he will not forsake you. About five people got that. What does that mean? That means he goes out in front of you. And he prepares the way. He's already prepared the way. But the way that he's already prepared, because he declared it from the beginning, he spoke it from the beginning and proclaimed it. Now time's revealing it. He goes right through time ahead of you, just checking things out, making sure there's no complications. Then he doesn't just check it out. Then he comes, and he comes with you. And when he's with you, he assures you he's never going to leave you. On the timeline that he's already made for you, and he's already inspected the way and prepared it, that means everything you're going to need is already there. And now he's going to walk you through the steps. He's never going to leave you. And you never have to worry about trusting him. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. Oh, well, Pastor, you just don't know what I'm going through, man. I've been going through hell. You ain't went through hell. Hell's a real place, and you ain't been there. You might have to clean your life up a little bit so you don't wind up there. But no, you haven't been in hell. You have no idea what hell's all about. Now, maybe, just maybe, in this walk, along this path, where everything's already been prepared for you, and God's walking with you, you might have just decided to veer a little bit. I just don't understand why the promises, what's not happening. I mean, does God not love me? Oh, God loves you. And if he hadn't forsaken you, you'd already be dead. Because the minute you left that line, the enemy would have picked you off. But as long as you're in line with God, the enemy cannot touch you. Listen to me. When you're walking with God, you know who the biggest enemy is? You. We're our biggest enemy. Come on, don't make me go back to last week. Okay, I'm going back to last week. Y'all made me. You got flesh, you got a soul, and you got a spirit. God made your spirit perfect. It's perfect. The new man in Christ, it's perfect. And that's what he sees. But this flesh... See, sanctification is an event, but it's also a process. Yeah, you were set apart the moment a permanent spirit came in you, but we got some time for this flesh to line up with that perfecting spirit called perfection, and it's going to take a minute. Now, I'm not going to say it can't happen instantaneously, but in most people's lives, including mine, it takes a bit. It takes a while. Why? Because now I have to walk it out through time. It's already done. It's finished. But I still got to walk some. I got to walk this out. And unfortunately, we walk in the flesh. But the Bible says don't walk in that. I know, but I'm so used to walking in that. Well, you don't need to walk in that anymore. You need to walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, it says we don't even have the lust of the flesh. Back to the Word. So he goes out. Watch this. He goes before you. He'll be with you. He won't leave you or forsake you. So here's the statement. So don't fear or be dismayed. Why are you afraid? I'm talking to somebody here today. Somebody's going to get this word today and say, man, he's looking in my mailbox right now. He must be listening to my phone conversations. He must be listening to my prayer life. No, the Holy Ghost had you before you walked in. And now through his own word, he's revealing to you why you're in fear, why you're dismayed. What's dismayed? I'm upset. Something's wrong. Something's bothering me. I got anxiety about something. That's being dismayed. You're not happy with the current set of circumstances. Why are you not happy with the current set of circumstances? Because you don't understand that he's already went before you. You're still worrying about the things in front of you when God already prepared and made a way for that thing. You keep looking at the thing. Stop looking at the thing. Start looking at God. That's a word for somebody today. Oh, I felt the Lord when I said that. Woo. You got your eyes on the wrong thing. You got your eyes on everything else except God. You got your eyes on everything else except his word. You're listening to everything except what God told you. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to listen. When those other voices start speaking, I hear them, but I'm not listening. I see them, but I'm not paying attention. That was a word for somebody too. So he goes out in front of you and prepares a way for you. Watch this. Then he makes all of the alternative routes necessarily just in case you decide to take a detour. Anybody here ever taken a, I'm not going to say accidental because it wasn't accidental. You knew you were taking a detour when you did it. We're in church. Let's just quit lying to each other. My God, you did it. You knew you'd do it. You knew it was wrong when you did it. My hands up first. I knew what I was doing. Anybody remember that movie Bug's Life and he sees that light? Don't go to the light. I can't help it. Like a moth to a light, man. We know that's my plan. We know that's the step, but I can't help it. How many times have you been over and I can't help it, Bill? You don't think that God knew when he made that plan for your life that you were going to run over to that light? That was not the light of the Lord. He said the devil will come as an angel of light too. You're going to the wrong light. I can't help it. I kind of like that. So not only, watch this, you talk about God being faithful. Not only has he already spoke to your life about what it would be, put all the preparation on it, checks it and goes before you, walks with you in it to make sure you stay on path. When you veer off path, because you get the choice. You don't have to stay in line. He made a finish line and you're not on it. You're not on the finish line. You're over here. He still makes an alternative route for you to work your way back to the path that you're supposed to be on. My God, how many times have I veered away from that path? How many times did I know what I was doing when I did it, and he's still faithful to bring me back? So he's with you just to bring you back if you need to be brought back. It's just like, anybody here ever taught a teenager how to drive? If you ever want to test your salvation, just teach a teenager how to drive. You ever think you have patience and perfect peace? You need to teach a teenager how to drive. You put them in a 4,000-pound vehicle with fast acceleration, and you say, go. You better be a man or woman of faith. Yeah. So why are you riding with them? Can't you just give them instruction? Can't you just tell them what to do? No, what do? You get in that car with them. Why? So they make sure that they get to their destination safely. You know why God doesn't just tell us what to do? Because there's no telling where we would wind up. So he goes with us along for the ride. So we don't try to make those turns. He's there to tell us. But how many times have you been with that teenager? You're like, okay, we're going to turn left right here. We're going to left here, left here, left, left here, left. Just going up that roundabout. We're good. Yeah, roundabout right up there. Just turn. Yeah, turn there. Turn. Right here, here, right here, right here. Left, here, turn. Go up to the Publix. Just turn around in the plaza, right? Just left here. See the big Publix sign? The big sign. Turn left at the sign. Yeah, we're laughing, but what do you think God's saying? God's up here going, hey, no, turn, turn, no, no, no. Turn it, turn it. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. You missed it. You missed it. You missed it. God's trying to get you back to the path. Every time. No. How many people have turned around in Publix a few times? Come on, somebody. Don't leave me up here by myself. I'm not going to be the only one. Sometimes I felt like I was doing donuts in the Publix parking lot. I'm just honest enough to tell the truth. Y'all won't do it. See, so he finishes your plan before he starts it. He goes before you to check, to make sure all the provision has already been made and put in place. Then he goes with you along your journey. He never takes breaks. He never pauses. He never forsakes you. What's that mean? It means he never lets you down. He keeps you safe, and he keeps you on course. Now, does everybody understand that? I need to move ahead to the next step here in this revelation. You got that? Now, don't lose that and don't leave that the moment you come out of church. Forget everything you learned. Because as soon as you get it, I'm telling you, before you get home, you're probably going to get a phone call. Probably going to get a visitation. Going to open up some mail tomorrow. Or you're going to read an email. And something's going to try to trigger something about your future. And you don't need to be paying attention to what the trigger is. You need to be paying attention to know that there's already a provision in place to answer and to respond to whatever that thing is trying to provoke you to have a response that you don't need to have. Come on, somebody laugh at the devil. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's all you got? I am so secure with my future. I am so satisfied with the God that's watching over me. I am so satisfied and so secure. And I feel so good about my future because God has already made me a promise. And he's there every day with me, whether I believe it or not, whether I know it or not, he's still there. How many people needed to hear that today? Okay. Everybody got that? I want to give you the next concept. You ready? Let's tie right to the wagon. Let's go. Let's just keep going. All right. So you have to understand this concept. And that one is, I'm going to say this and listen to me. God's not walking through time with you. God's not walking through time with you. You're on a timeline. You're on a finish line. He's not walking that timeline with you. Time's revolving around God. You understand that? So, I want to say this the right way. He finishes the line that he draws for your life. Then your life revolves around him. He's not there walking down your one little line. He draws the finish line. It's finished the moment he draws it. Say finish line. And then you get on that finish line. And then that time revolves around God. He can look at any point in your life at any time in your life. He can look at all points of your life at any time he wants. I know this is deep, and we can keep, if you want, I'll go back to Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, and we can learn how to bless our food, and we can, or do you want to learn about the deep things of God? Do you want to learn about the mysteries of God? Because, see, that's going to be revealed to you through the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to teach you how to live a Spirit-filled life, where you depend on the Spirit of God to know where that line is and where that line is not. You can't find that in your human heart. You have to have that through the Holy Spirit. So I know this sounds a little deep, but it needs to be. Deep calleth into deep. So you have to hear some deep things to pull some deep things out of you, to pull you into the deeper places with God. So now your whole life is revolving around God. It's a God-centered life. See, you've heard this term, you just didn't understand it. Does that make sense now? So in this God-centered life, after he draws that line, then he orders your steps. Steps of a righteous man, a good man, a order of the Lord. What does that mean? Did you notice he said he didn't order your days? He didn't order your months. He didn't order your years. He ordered every step. He is so involved in your life. He is so particular about how you live. He is so particular about you getting to the place you're going. Every step he's paying attention to. Because if I wait a day, I might wind over there. And God knows where I'm going to wind up in a day. But I can only get so far off path with a step before there's a response. You see what I'm saying? So he literally is watching our every step. All you have to do is walk it out. Look at your neighbor and say, just walk it out. And he's even walking with you to make sure you stay on course. Why? Because the Bible says he's there to watch over his word to perform it. And every time you need something in your life, and you speak the word, you believe the word, you call upon the word, he's right there. Does that right there? That was declared by me. Now he is declaring it on my behalf for his behalf. And so he's there to make sure, perform that. Every step of your life, he's there to confirm every word that he has declared that you declare for your behalf. I'm going to slide a little bit deeper into that concept. You ready? God doesn't see life like we see it. You don't believe me. Okay. How many of us in our prayer lives, how many of us kind of pray like this? This person's doing this to me, Lord. And this person's doing that to me. And this is happening, and you go into great detail to tell God exactly what's happening. Or that has already happened to me, and I don't understand. God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do it now. Hurry, God. Lord, can you hear me? Anybody ever prayed that one? Are you listening? You start getting detailed in your prayer. Lord, oh my God, I just got home. My world's falling apart. She left me. I didn't even know that was going to happen. Lord, my child's on drugs. Lord, we're informing God. I mean, what do you suppose he's doing up there? Are you kidding me or what? Seriously? Really? Is that happening? You suppose he's up there wringing his hands? Oh, my God. Oh, wait, I am God. You don't need to inform God about the things that he's already handled. You need to petition God. That's not the same thing. I never walked up to my dad, "Dad, oh my God, I'm not going to eat tomorrow if I don't have money." I just walked up to him, "Hey, Dad, can I have some lunch money for tomorrow?" I just petitioned him. I'm going to make a statement. Take the drama out of your prayers, and the drama will come out of your life. Oh, somebody ought to be shouting over that. That's gold. That's gold right there. That's gold. You listen to my prayers, my drama's gone. Why? Because I believed him when he said he declared my life from the beginning. I believed that he finished it. I believe that it's already done. I believe what he said, he went ahead to prepare the way for me, that it's fully prepared, and I'm not going to outthink God and have to remind him what he needs to do because he forgot some detail that I think he should attend to. We're all real quiet today. Listen, I'm sharing with you the things I had to learn to do. I did all these things. I used to have panic prayers, 911 prayers. I had every prayer you could say. I got so much anxiety. I used to get so anxiety, I'd hyperventilate during my prayers. Come on, I've heard some of y'all pray. Am I alone up here? Or help me to just know I'm included, that everyone is maybe going through this same kind of thing. I don't want to feel anxiety when I pray. I don't want to feel fear when I pray. I don't want to deal with emotions that I'm not prepared to deal with because I don't understand the plan. So we're not leaving this building today until you get this. Because I want you to live in a place of perfect peace. I want you to understand that this walk of faith isn't a walk of I don't know. It's a way that it's not a work of I don't know. It's a work of I've already done. Can I keep moving on this? God doesn't see life like we see it. And so what happens is after we pray these crazy prayers, thinking that God's going to get off point or something like that, we feel like we're informing God, not understanding that he had a way out before you even had a way in. Okay, here's a revelation. Are you ready? Y'all prepare? Yeah, y'all are already sitting down, okay? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to tell you some truth today. God's not going to move on your behalf. Wow. Did he just say what I think he said? Why did he say that? I'm going to say it again. God's not going to move on your behalf. You have to move on his. I'm going to let that sink in for about a minute or two. Yeah, see, we always want God to bless what we're doing. Oh, God, bless this. I'm doing this, and I want you to bless what I'm doing. Oh, God, I hope you'll bless it. Oh, God, will you bless this? We don't need to think that God's going to bless what we're doing. We need to be doing what God's blessing. The plan, it's finished. The order, it's already been put in place. I just have to get in line and stay on the finish line. The line has been drawn. You don't get to the finish line. You get on the finish line until you finish. In life, we're taught, yeah, we just got to run through life till we get the finish line. No, you're on the finish line trying to get finished. They're not the same thing. And you know one of the problems is? Can I just talk about one of our biggest problems? Are you okay with it? You know I'm going to do it anyway, but I'd like to ask permission. See, we want God to get upset with our problems. We do. We want God to get upset with our problems, and he won't do it. Yeah. Then we get upset because he won't get upset about what's upsetting us. Has anybody ever watched a football game and your team won? Come on, man. I've seen some of you. Yeah, go Tide. Woo! Go Dog. Well, who that? Woo! I mean, War Eagle. Ooh, whatever. Man, y'all get excited. Exhilaration all over your life at that moment because your team won. You realize, man, my team won. Woo! Let me ask you a question. Anybody ever watched a rerun of one of your ball games? Okay. Have you ever been watching that rerun? And then, I don't know, let's say you're in the second quarter and your team, you know, it's made a drive all the way down. And you got right down to the goal line and the quarterback throws the interception. Oh, my God, what are you doing? Oh! Do you get on the phone then and call your friends? You know, they were having a peaceful game trying to think, well, you know, that's kind of some tough luck. Did you see what that idiot just did? What's the matter with him? We're going to lose again. Have you ever been watching a rerun and call your friend and say that? I'm just asking some questions. Have they got right up to the line? You're going, come on, get it in. Get it in. Get it in. Because you can't take it anymore. The clock's saying, start the play. I'm just asking questions here right now. To God, your life is like watching a rerun. Not only is he not upset, he's still excited about the victory. Yeah. And what he's doing through people like me is trying to get you excited about it too. But you're too busy getting upset about a rerun. Okay. Let me do it this way. One night I was watching a fight. You know, I watch fighting every night. You know, I'm watching this fight. Bam, 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 man, he was the champion. They were fighting for the title. And it had already happened like 3-4 years ago. I just forgot who won that particular fight. And so I'm sitting there, and I want my guy to win so bad. And I'm sitting there. I got pure anxiety. I'm like, oh, man, he's going down. Get up, get up, get up. Come on, keep your left up. Keep your, oh, my God, get up. You know, don't act like you don't do the same thing when you're watching TV. When you're rooting for the guy you want to win, you might even be a little worse. But I'm at least being honest. I'm very involved. And then I had to ask myself, you know, why am I so worked up? Because I didn't know who won. It was driving me crazy. And then I had one day, I was watching a tennis match, and it was one of my favorite players of all time was Roger Federer. And it was a majors. And he's playing, and man, it looks like he's getting his eyes beat out. I'm like, Roger, you know, we consult them. Somehow we feel like we're helping them through the match. Roger, what are you doing? You're playing terrible, son. You got to fix this. And I was worked up, and I didn't want him, you know, because he would have had the most majors, and I wanted him to get another one on the board, and he's the best player in the world, and you know, he's a legend, and I'm for him, and I want him to win so bad, and I'm telling you, I was in pure anxiety over it. I was worried. I was in fear. I was afraid he was going to lose. And then Chaz walks in. He goes, hey, Dad, what you doing? I said, I'm watching Roger. Apparently, he's trying to throw the match. Chaz looked at me and said, Dad, you know that aired last night. I said, really? He said, yeah, Roger won. I went, yes, 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 yes. All the anxiety was gone. All the fear was gone. All the agony was gone. Everybody look at me. You won. You won. It's over. Stop looking at the rerun. He's already declared it from the beginning to the end. He's already prepared the way. He's already done everything he needs to do. He just needs you to walk it out. Somebody give God some praise in this place. Can I go just a little bit further? Ezekiel 3:15. That which is has already been. And what is to be has already been. We're on this earth for a set period of time. So every day I'm here, every day that I'm on this earth, I'm becoming what I already am. About three people got that. If God's already made my way and proclaimed who I am to be and proclaimed what I am to do, then every day I am here becoming what I already am. See, the problem is we have so many people have so low self-esteem because they see themselves of who they are and they don't know who they am. Say, I am who I am by the blood of the Lamb. That's it. I don't know who you were. I don't know who you are. But I know in the spirit who you'll be because you already are that. Every day you're becoming that. God, Bishop, that stuff's deep. I know. Get down in your kishkas. Get it out of there. Get it in there. Guys, it's a rerun. God's already finished it. Am I going to make some mistakes? Yes. Am I going to miss it sometimes? Yes. Am I going to say some and do some stupid things? Oh, heck yes. But what does Romans 8:28 say? I'm going to read it from the NLT. It has just a little version, but listen to this. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I just got to stay in line. Stay on the finish line. Stay on. It'll all work together. Yes, I'm going to mess up. Yes, I'm going to do dumb things. Yes, I'm going to miss it. But just keep staying on the line. And everything that you thought was bad, the enemy tried to turn for bad, God will turn to good. It'll work for you. Is God still going before me? Yes. Is God still with me? Yes. Then I will not fear, nor will I be dismayed. I'm not going to be upset, have anxiety, worry about anything. I'll live, therefore, in perfect peace. Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Until the day of Christ Jesus. He always finishes what he starts because he finishes before he starts. What does that mean, Bishop? That means if he's already started getting you out of debt, you're already debt free. See, if you have a family member who's a heathen and he's already started working on them, then they're already saved. Okay, let me put it this way. If you already have a tumor and it's starting to shrink, you're already healed. If it's drugs, if it's alcohol, unholy lifestyle, if you've started to change, you're already delivered. You just have to stay on the finish line, stay on the course, walk it out, and it is finished. He finishes what he starts, and he started with you. I taught you last week, when you give your life to Christ, your spirit's made new. Josh, you can come on up here. Jesus did that for you. Why? So he could send his Holy Spirit to live inside you. He gave you a perfect spirit so his perfect spirit could live in you. Why? For what reason? So God could do through you what he did through Jesus. He did it so when Christ says, "It's finished," our story was completed before it ever started. He did it so we could be victorious before we ever had the chance to fail. You were victorious before you even had the chance to fail. Get that in your spirit. Remember, once you start, he's already finished it. Look at somebody and say, "You just got to walk it out." Say this with me. He goes before me. He's always with me. He'll never forsake me. He's already finished what I've started. Therefore, I am already victorious. I choose to live in perfect peace. Why? Because I'm already on the finish line. And what's finished with God is finished with me. Can you stand to your feet and give God some praise in here today? I hope that helped somebody today. I'm telling you, it helped me. It changed my life. Can I say this? No, it's still changing my life. And every time I preach it, I get one more revelation of it. I get one more glimpse of it. Every time I hear it, I get one more understanding that I didn't have before. So I encourage you, go on the podcast, go online, watch it. I put many hours into the study to break this down so you can get it. I'm praying that you'll go back and let this get in your spirit. It will change your life. We're living in a world, just get ready, it's going to get worse. It's going to look bad. It's going to be bad, but it's not going to be bad for you. We don't base our faith on the stock market or what's going on the news channels. We don't base it on who gets elected as an official in any office in the land. That's not how we live our life. We live our life based on a finish line. And what God has already declared is already been. Therefore, I'm staying on my path. I'm praying you're going to stay on your path. And we're going to encourage each other. And we're going to go together. Why? Because we all go together. Say, "We all go." And we all go together. When you leave this building today, I don't care what comes up, what problem, what issue, what challenge, what threat, whatever comes to pass in your life when you leave this building today, or if it happens before you leave the building, I want you to remember what you learned here today. And so then, when you see those things, don't bring the drama to God. He already knows. Petition the Lord for what you need to get you through that period of time. I feel I need to tell this before I give the altar call. When my son was diagnosed with cancer, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I'm the guy preaching faith. I'm the guy everybody comes to when nobody else can get them well. They fly in from all over the world. I'm the guy who's supposed to know exactly what to do. I'm the guy who's trying to spread the gospel around the earth. I've preached in many countries. I've spoken about God everywhere I've ever been, giving the salvation message on TV in front of hundreds of thousands of people every time I'm on. You'll always see me give an altar call. Why is my son getting cancer? But the fact is, it's there. So what am I supposed to do? So instead of going to God with a bunch of drama, instead of going in there and bawling and squalling and doing all that, I had to go to his future. Remember I told you? And I had to go from his future and see the finished work. Remember that teacher? And then I had to speak to myself. I had to speak to my past from my future. Why? Because from the beginning, God declared that by his stripes, he was healed. I wasn't asking God to bless what I was doing. I was doing what I already knew God was blessing. So every day, I had to declare his healing. Every day, I had to remind, and that was for me, not for God. God knows. God's living a rerun. And I had to remind myself every day, this is just a rerun. I had to remind myself every day that I'm going to need provision. He already put here. So God, show me the provision. I know it's here, but this is what I need. So how do I get it? How do I get to it? You know, sometimes you have to have God, how you get to your provision. Is this his provision or is it not? Is it somebody else trying to pull you off path? If somebody starts offering me what appears as a blessing, first thing I do is pray about it. Every blessing is not from the Lord. And let me tell you something. If somebody's trying to bless you and there's something tied to it, it's probably not the Lord. Something they want back from you. Say, yes, Pastor. So, during that process, when we got to the finish, I was already on the finish line and stayed on that line. Chaz stayed in. Bless his heart, he was going through all kind of I thought I was going through something. I can't imagine what he was going through. So I spent most of my time actually praying for him. His mother spent most of her time praying for him. And I was praying for the both of them. Hope somebody's hearing me. We stayed on that line until what was already finished, time revealed. We knew it was finished, but time hadn't revealed it yet. So when people come to you and they're like, well, I don't see it. They know because time hadn't revealed it yet. But it will. Hide and watch. So I don't know how you came in here today. I don't know what struggle you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But time's about to reveal to you how faithful your God really is. These last 2 weeks, I've been hit with so many blessings that I'm overwhelmed by God. Things that I didn't, you know, I knew would happen, things I knew were going to come to pass, but they just, time hadn't revealed them. So instead of getting weary, going to God with a bunch of drama about how tired I am, about how wore out I am, I just went to him and said, God, one of those provisions that you laid out for me, I know is strength, and so I'm going to receive that today. I'm pulling on the strength provision today. Does that prayer sound different than, oh, God, I can't do it. I can't go on. Oh, God, help me if you can. If I can. See the difference between a mature prayer, between milk and meat? It starts in our prayer life. I'll say it again because I want to make sure you heard it. Take the drama out of your prayer life, and the drama will come out of your life. So we stand at this moment here as a church, and we're faced with a future that is full of Jesus, full of good things, full of miraculous works, full of wonders, signs and wonders, full of abundance. Because he said, not only did you have life, but he wants you to have it what? That you might have it more abundantly. So everybody here, watch this. You've got an abundant life to look forward to. All I needed was for Chaz to tell me that Roger won. And my whole countenance changed. Everything about me changed. I went into pure joy. So I just wanted you to know that there's an abundant life that's waiting for you. I know maybe this week you're still trying to figure out how you're going to pay the bills. I know maybe you're not even knowing how you're going to maybe make it through the week. I told you, everything you need has already been prepared for you. Petition your father, and if you need some lunch money, just go up and ask him. Don't pray stupid prayers. God, give me $3 million. He's not going to give you $3 million, because if he gave you $3 million, you'd probably be dead by the end of the month. And if your heart was right, you wouldn't pray that kind of prayer anyway. So guys, it's time. It's a church. It's time on the time clock of God. We got to grow up. And it starts by the way we address God. So did everyone, before I get out of here, does everyone understand what I preached today? You got it? I pray that that word will change your life as much as it's changed mine. Father, I pray for every person that's here today. And God, I pray that they not only receive the revelation, but they see you in a way they never saw you before. They see life in a way they never knew it could be lived. God, that your word spells it out, line upon line, precept upon precept, every jot, every tittle, Lord, it points to your goodness. Lord, you said there's no one like you, and there isn't, because no one else would do that for us. No one but a God like you. So we thank you with open hearts. Lord, I pray that there's no more anxiety in here. Your word says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. I pray that there's no fear. Why? Because you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Let's focus on the things you give us, Lord. Help us to focus on those things and not the things that are not from you. And so, God, I pray if anyone needed that encouragement today, Lord, that you would just wrap your arms around them. When they walk out of here, they feel your presence. Lord, they needed to be reminded that you're with them and you're never going to leave them and you're never going to forsake them. That's every person that's in here. If you came in here today and you think you're alone, you're not. You never were. So it's time to realize who's walking with you. And he's got a plan for your life and he's going to walk it out. And I bless you for that, Lord, because you take special care of us. You pay so much attention that you even watch every step we take. Thank you for monitoring us and our lives so closely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you know me. I'm always going to give everyone here an opportunity, because there may be a few people here that never have given their life to Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that, you'll never understand the perfect peace we're talking about. You'll never understand that he has declared that beginning. You're never going to understand that until Jesus lives in your heart. Because until he comes in your heart, he can't perfect your spirit. But once he does come in your heart, he perfects your spirit. Now the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit himself, comes and lives in you and is with you every day of your life. He's your comforter, the Bible says. He's your counselor, the Bible says. He will direct you and guide you and keep you. Man, we want that for everybody. So if that's you today and you say, Pastor, that's me, in a minute we're going to say a prayer. Everybody in here is going to pray the prayer. But I'm interested, are you going to pray the prayer and get saved? Most of us, we've already given our life to the Lord, but we're going to go ahead and reconsecrate ourselves to the Lord anyway. But if you have never done that, I'd just like to know who I'm praying. You know, when we're praying, I'd just like to know who I'm praying with, so I can be in agreement with you. I'm not going to bring you up or embarrass you or anything like that. I just want to know who you are by eye shot, and I'll just, when I'm praying in my spirit, I'll keep you in mind to make sure that God is just, I want to agree with you. Because where two agree is touching anything. It says our Father in heaven will bring it to pass. So I just want to agree with you. So if that's anybody here today and you say, well, you know, Pastor, I'd like to see the Lord today. Just when we pray, just raise your hands. Is there anybody? Can I see? Is there anybody in the house today that would like to? Don't be afraid. Don't be bashful. Like I said, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not even going to single you out. I just want to see. Just put a little hand at me. Just wave at me. Anybody over there? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for being so honest. I appreciate that. Is there anyone else? Just place lifting your hand. You're just saying, that's me, Pastor. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Anybody else? I see another hand. Anybody else? Right there. Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? Okay. So then, thank you for being honest. Now, here's the next prayer. Some of you, yeah, you've given your life to the Lord, but you know you've been off that line. You're not on that line anymore. You were on that finish line. Man, you were doing so good. And you took one of those detours. We've all done it. But now you want to find your way back. Why do you think you're here? The reason you're here is God's, this is the GPS pointing back. It wasn't by sheer happenstance. You're here for a reason. God ordained that you're here because your steps are ordered. And now he wants to point you back in the right direction. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I want to come back today. I want to get my life back on that finish line. Raise your hand. Let me see it. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Hands all over the building. Thank you. I'm agreeing with every single one of you. Agreeing with every single one of you. Now, what I want to do is exactly what I said. I want to pray. And when you hear me pray, you're going to pray with me. But it's not important that you hear me or everyone else around you praying. It's important that you hear yourself making that declaration over your life to God. And then when we say amen, man, it's finished, it's done. You're right back, and we're going to get on that finish line until we finish. Amen. All right, let's all bow our heads and repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to come into my heart, fill me, cleanse me, make me every bit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins, and I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I am now a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is now my home, and you are now my Lord. I believe it, and now I confess it, and that settles it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. For all of you that had your hands up earlier, welcome home. Welcome home. For those of you that are here for the first time coming in to know the Lord, welcome to Kingdom. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Just know that. Because what you've done is now you've given God permission to keep you on track, to get you to the provision that he already has prepared with you. Okay? Guys, I don't get to tell you enough, but I want to thank you for being who you are. You know, some people, and I don't want to pick on anybody, but there's sometimes I'm preaching in other churches when I go off, and I can only go so deep. They won't let me. I can feel by the spirit of resistance. So I have to back out. And, you know, I never tell them what they want to hear. I tell them what God says they need to hear. But I can only go so deep. But you guys, I feel you open up because you want the deep things of God. I can tell. So I'm going to stay in a vein. And I'm going to keep digging. And we're going to just keep going. Is everybody okay with that? I just want to go a little deeper. So I do want to tell you, because I don't like to be gone from the pulpit unless I have to. This next weekend, I won't be here. But we'll have, don't worry. We'll have, you know, ministers in the house. Everything will run just good. Maybe sometimes they got a word better than I have. But I'll tell you this. Know that wherever I am, I'll be watching. And know that wherever I am, I'll be praying for you. And I'll be back that following prayer. I have to go out to Dallas. I have TV and business I have to handle, because that is involved in worldwide ministry. And I have to do that as well, because that's part of the calling. But I'm never, ever doing it to take from y'all. Okay? This only benefits the work of God. Okay? So then I'll be back the following Sunday. But thank you for supporting me in that. I appreciate that. Thank you. And so, without further ado, we'll go ahead and bring the announcements up. But I pray that word bless you today. And come on, let's get this thing and let's just take it to the next level, guys, okay?